and Brit. Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. It's our second one this week. We're glad you are here. If you're watching us, you may have noticed we just look a lot better today than we normally do. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. Are you moisturizing these days? I don't know.
I bathed and I put on decent clothes. So I think good. I exfoliated properly.
Good. All right. I never want to come 100% unprepared. I usually come about 97%.
Same here. Same with me.
But I did do some serious fact-checking here because you and I are not the only two people who just say shit that we either can't prove, can't verify.
That's right.
Or the other person doubts the other person, and then we argue over it. And
there's a lot of people that pull stuff out of their ass. It's not just the two of us.
Right. So yesterday, it was noted on Fox that within one delightful hour on Monday night, two utterances, two attacks on Dr. Fauci were launched.
I can't believe you did this because we prepared the same thing. Go ahead.
Wait. You just put yours away because I got this one.
Yeah, I got I'll this highlight one. It. Go for it.
All right. So, on the Tucker Carlson show,
okay,
Tucker says that Fauci is a shorter version of Mussolini.
There he is.
An hour later, this Laura Logan, who, and when you think about what happened to her career, okay, she was the hottest babe. That she every was. Guy in America wanted to fuck. Can I that's just
correct.
Say that?
That's correct. All right. That's not incorrect.
On her way up, and she was there, and then she got the gig on CBS on 60 mm-hmm. Minutes, and then suddenly she went down the rabbit hole.
In the shitter.
Into the right-wing thing beyond anything. So, wait a minute. So, in the 8 o'clock hour, Tucker Carlson says that Fauci is a shorter version of Mussolini. And then Laura Logan goes on Hannity's show an hour later and says the people, quote unquote, people are telling her that Dr. Fauci is just like Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who performed all kinds of gruesome experiments on twins. Yeah. You know, his name is, you know his name for a reason. Now, I wanted to make sure that we had the facts right here.
Okay.
And of course, I am confused because he can't be both. He can't be a shorter version of Mussolini and just like Dr. Joseph Mengele. The two things don't seem to go together, but I checked it out. You ready?
Yeah.
Dr. Fauci, 5'7". Dr. Mengele, 5'7". So Fauci is just not a shorter version of Mengele. It's wrong.
And Mussolini also 5'7".
5'7".
So there you go.
So isn't that the real issue with the story?
I think that's
the height issues. Correct?
That's the issue of the whole thing. Yeah, he can't be a shorter version. It can be the same version as Mussolini. They're the same thing. Yeah. So I don't know.
But, you know, think about it. Go back years and years and years and years when we would throw out Hitler references or talk about Godwin's law, which is a 25-year-old thing that a guy came up with that said that any discussion on the internet, which think about what the internet discussion boards were like 20, 25 years ago, anything that veers into Hitlerian comparisons, the discussion blows up
and you lose.
We're way past that. We're beyond that because now it is kind of a legitimate thing to do if it makes sense. But to compare, I just want to think about it objectively, to compare Dr. Fauci, who's devoted his life to saving lives, to being at the forefront of the fight against AIDS, and now in the fight against the coronavirus and its variants, no matter what you think of him, to compare him to arguably the worst name in medicine of all time.
I
don't know how to say it. I mean, they got nothing left on the table. right? There's just nothing left. Really? And not only that, she goes with the people are saying, people have said.
I love that. Who are these people? Who are these dumbass people that you're talking to, Laura? You dumbass.
Right. Right. It's really kind of off the charts, which so much stuff is. By the way, I don't know how much we know about this yet, knowing the details, but as we were starting to do our Brad and Brit cast this day, the headline was that Mark Meadows, right-hand man of Donald Trump, number one henchman, chief of staff, all the way to the end, now says he's going to cooperate and actually has been cooperating, which would initially lead you to believe, oh, they finally cracked one. They finally found a guy who's decided he doesn't want to spend the next 30 or 40 years, whatever he has left on this earth, being a guy who's known only for taking the fall for Donald Trump, which he still is until proven otherwise, because I think hidden in the story, hidden in the details, is he's still claiming he has some level of ability to claim some kind of executive privilege over some. No. When you take your clothes off, you take them all off, Mark.
That's correct,
they
Mark.
They all have to come off. Nope, nothing left. So we'll see. We'll see.
These are the last two. These are the last two representatives from Western North Carolina. It's Mark Meadows and Madison Cawthorn.
Yeah.
There you go. Those are your last two guys to serve as.
I got it. Who's going to be the next person to represent that part of North Carolina? The grandson of Mussolini,
Joseph Mengele. People are telling me that.
I know it's
really stupid to talk about markets and such, but which means I'm going to. I think if you're watching, you can see that's all red. It's fair to say that the markets have reacted negatively to Omicron, basically, and all other stuff that's going on as well. Things in Europe are not so great when it comes to the virus. I'll put this story up here. There is Jim Cramer apparently was screaming that Joe Biden needs to impose a nationwide vaccine mandate. You know, to some people, Joe Biden does way too much, and to other people, you know, he doesn't do enough. What in general are your thoughts on that, Brad?
I saw it last night.
Yeah,
I'm happy to play it right now.
Sure,
because I think it's the truth.
It's so weird that we're synced up today. Enjoy this, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, here you go. This is Jim Cramer from Mad Money last night. Let's hope it runs.
Nobody wants to be the bad guy. So we've allowed a pastiche of uncoordinated health organizations to dictate an on-again, off-again series of measures that mostly just leave us baffled and confused. We haven't centralized the issue to the point where the White House actually seems to take responsibility. Let's see, first was the CDC, and then the FDA, then the National Institutes of Health, mostly coordinating policy through talk shows. Then we left vaccination policy to individual companies. Now it's toothless OSHA going back and forth on what's allowed in factories, but nobody with any power is saying the frontline workers need to be vaccinated. It's just plain wrong, and most of us are sick of it. Even as a vocal anti-vax minority is always grabbing the mic. This charade must end. The government must require vaccinations, not of this group or that group, not company by company, not cruise ship by cruise ship or airline by airline or governor by governor. The buck stops at the White House. Some of us are old enough to remember when we were told we had to get a needle stuck into our arms because of some disease that was so scary we were afraid to talk about it. The disease was called polio. No one knew how you got it. But you were scared to go to a place where anyone might congregate, a swimming pool, a park. Then we got a vaccine that worked, and President Eisenhower said we would end polio. He pulled it off because he didn't give us any choice. Soon after, as if the needle were too hard, they came up with a sugar cube, they being the scientists at the time, and we lined up and took them too. Mine tasted like maraschino cherries. Yeah, like the Del Monte fruit cocktail my mom served, but only better. Lord knows what happened if you didn't partake, but back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately because we knew that person could hurt other people. The common wheel was a common wheel. Now we're engaged in a similar struggle with COVID, and Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish states' rights issue, the right to get sick and get other people sick. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court.
All right. Of course, it's not 1956 anymore. Eisenhower isn't the president, and the country is a lot more diverse and made up of a lot more assholes. And Eisenhower was a Republican. Okay. Yeah. So just from that, in other words, yes, on the technicalities, Kramer is 100% right. But on the realities of this country, it's just not going to happen because we're not willing to listen to anybody in government anymore. We don't trust them. No. You know, they all lie. They make stuff up, right?
And well, and Eisenhower's another guy who would never find a place in today's Republican Party. He's another right. Republican who would never be a part of what's going on in the GOP now, for sure.
Yeah, but the fact that in the same breath, people will say, "Well, the United States, we're the most advanced medical care in the world," and not blah, 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 and we have the lowest vaccination rate among developed nations. If we are a developed nation, talked about that yesterday. Look it up. we really are a 100% different country than we were then. But yeah, this back and forth thing, and I'll tell you what, I didn't say this yesterday, but I don't think we had time, or I just didn't decide to slide it in, but I had not been to the gym for about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Only because, you know, we were traveling to California and New York and back and forth, and then the holidays, haven't been there for about 3 weeks. So I went on Sunday afternoon. It's good to go on Sunday afternoon because you can watch the football games. Well, it's a good time to go. I walked it in is. There. And, you know, they still have the sign on the door, now not as prominent as it used to be, but still there, saying everyone should wear a mask. Everyone should wear. So I walk in and I look around and fuck, nobody's wearing a mask. A couple people are, but almost everyone is not wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over to my machine. I'm a moron. I'm wearing one. And during that 3 week period where we live, Britt, Guilford County, North Carolina, they changed the rules.
They said
it was no longer required for businesses to have you wear a mask.
Some businesses are still choosing to do it, like your Food Lions, your Walmarts, et cetera.
Right. But in terms of it being a government edict anymore, they pulled back on it.
Correct.
Well, that may as well have been 20 years ago because they change very, very quickly. Hang on.
Shut up. You piece of crap. You're bothering me. So it might as well have been 20 years ago. You said there was nobody around there wearing a mask.
And so what do people do? They take that as some kind of cue to go, well, fuck, I don't need to wear a mask anymore, even though the day before yesterday I was wearing a mask in this same situation. Because, as you know, the virus does listen to government pronouncements and decides once people aren't wearing masks anymore, the virus will go elsewhere if it does exist. It made no sense to me. Anyway, so I walked up to the young girl who's, you know, in charge of the gym, because there's always one or two people at the front desk, and she's wearing a mask because the employees still have to wear them. And I said to her, I said, what's going on here? Nobody's wearing a mask. And she looked at me and said, I know. And I said to her, I know you're not a police officer and you do not have the power to run around to all these people, but what happened? And she said, once they changed the rules, people took it upon themselves. So there's all these people,
even the police officers really didn't have any authority to do anything. I mean, that was the real, there was no enforcement procedure. But
the point is,
now there's nothing.
It was cool. Most people really did abide by the rule.
They narked on people were narking on their neighbors for a while in different businesses, but then after a while it became fuck it. And now it's really fuck it, which is like the scary thing, because this Omicron thing is looking bad. You've seen the numbers all over Europe. It's always difficult to put the genie back in the bottle, right? It's always difficult to go, hey, let's go back to the masks.
Well, but it doesn't matter, because if last week one fewer person was hospitalized or one fewer person died, well, right, things are getting better, right? That's how we do it. So we may be resigned to this forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Oh.
I don't see how you're not going to keep getting more variants. I don't see, because it feels right now like we're always going to be one step behind the virus, however it mutates, and they can't crank out a new version of vaccines quickly enough to keep pace with whatever is happening. So the only hope, I guess, is that these mutations, while they may spread easily, are not as damaging, don't make you as sick, and don't put as many people in hospitals, and don't kill as many people as we thought. And that is what happened with the Delta variant. Yes, it was more spreadable, but death rates have been going down.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go to the bank on that and hope that's what's going to happen every time. But I just thought it was really depressing to be there at the gym with people who really were playing pretty much by the rules for the last few months. They really were, and it didn't bother anyone. Yes, there would be the occasional asshole who would have the mask, you know, like here, like his fucking nose sticking out.
For no reason.
I swear to God, there was somebody else. I saw somebody once who had it over their nose, but not over their mouth. I don't know how they did it. I didn't know it was physically possible. But now it's, the government says we don't have to do it, we ain't going to do it. Okay. All right.
I think I was at a big event over the weekend with the wrestling guys, and there were like allegedly 8,000 people that went through the turnstiles to go see the old school wrestlers and stuff. And there were very few people wearing masks. I wore masks the entire time and disinfected my hands and all that stuff. But there were, I would look around with my buddy Bryant, and I would look around and like, oh, we're in a room full of a couple hundred people. And there's like me, him, and maybe two or three other people that were wearing masks. It's a little scary. People have, to say that people have let their guards down would be understating it, I think, in a big way.
Yeah. I'll see you and raise you on that one, because, and of course, it always occurs at the worst time. It always occurs when, you know, lurking right around the corner. I mean, this is like one long Freddy Krueger movie, right? It is. Right. Every time you relax, yeah, there he is again. And, you know, we refuse to learn the lessons. But back to the Kramer plea.
Yes.
Which, you know, factually, I agree with, but reality-wise, politicians have now checked out. The entire Republican Party is on Team Virus. They should have to wear T-shirts to say, yeah, we want Joe Biden to fail, and we want the administration, we want the CDC and the FDA, we want everybody to fail in their attempts to stem this virus, because that will not only kill more people, and you know, cruelty is the point, but the economy will not recover. The economy will reverse. Interest rates are going to be going up no matter what, and they may have to go up even more in a perverse way because of more virus. That's way beyond my pay grade on how that happens, but it could be the problem, because supply chains may not recover as quickly if the whole world gets inundated and starts to shut down again. So there are a lot of moving parts, but the Republican Party definitely has put its chips on the side of obstructionism against the United States recovering from the coronavirus by any means necessary, blocking mandates, going to court. Now, and you talked about this yesterday. I've read more about it. There are a lot of columns you can read about it. Perversely incentivizing people to quit their jobs with the promise that they will get unemployment benefits.
Yeah.
If the reason that they say they are quitting their job is because they did not want to comply with an employer mandate. So the same people who just a few months ago were bitching and whining that the unemployment benefits were going on too long. Nobody wanted to go back to work. And we have a labor shortage because people are sitting on their couch eating Cheetos and drinking Modelo and watching Adult Swim. That's all they do.
That's right.
Is that show still on, sir?
It still happens. They still got it. Rick Morty may be on there. I don't know. Somebody's on there. Space Ghost.
The Republican complaint was that this is socialism. This is what Democrats do. They don't want this country to get back to work. They just want to pay people to do nothing, and we will never get our economy going. Meantime, all of the economic numbers have been pointing in the correct direction for the last few months. So that was not true then. But what do they do now? They are explicitly telling people, able-bodied people with jobs, that you can go on the unemployment rolls, because the business that you worked at, your employer can't cut it anymore because, you know, they're doing no business because the economy shut down. No, the economy's not shut down, but you can just quit now and get those unemployment benefits, and we will take care of you if the reason that you're quitting is because you refuse to get vaccinated. Remember how many months it was, like 6-8 months ago, when it was first talked about paying people through coupons to get Dunkin' Donuts. Then it was $25. Yeah. Then it was $100. Then there were lotteries.
There were lotteries.
Several million dollars. And you know, it turned out that didn't really work that well. It wasn't that big of a deal. Okay. But I guess that's got to be the next step now. It's not just we're going to put you on unemployment if you say you don't want to get vaccinated and you quit your job. Maybe there'll be a lottery of the unvaccinated, unemployed, but on the dole people.
I think I made that joke that was going to be the Republican thing. If you don't get vaccinated, we'll put you in a lottery to win a prize. And now, I mean, it's sort of, you can't even make the jokes anymore because it's already happening.
Yeah, you got lapped on that one.
I did. They kicked my ass. No, a couple of months ago, what you would invariably get is one of your asshole Republican friends on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, they'd have a picture and they'd be going through the McDonald's drive-thru and go, "Hey, we're closed. We're closed from noon to two because we can't get enough people to staff." And they go, "God damn it, Joe Biden. Why the fuck are you paying fat asses to sit on the couch, you piece of shit?" And now these people are paying fat asses to sit on the couches like pieces of shit, because they won't get vaccinated. They're rewarding this bad behavior. I think that's called a moral hazard, Brad. Isn't that the definition of a moral hazard? Is that you reward bad behavior?
I think, again, the concept has been lapped. It's beyond that, because, of course, the immorality of not getting vaccinated. And again, we can't talk about that, right, in America. We can't talk about the moral component of love thy neighbor and do no harm to thy neighbor. And the easiest way you do that is to just get vaccinated. No, they've shifted the conversation. And the loudest anti-vaxxer voices, as Kramer mentioned, get all the attention. And we get nowhere. We get nowhere, and we have to answer them as if the natural state of being during a pandemic is to remain unvaccinated, right? And you have to prove that getting a vaccination kind of makes sense in a world where science has actually a couple hundred years worth of proof that vaccinations are the key to getting out of any epidemic or pandemic, from smallpox all the way up through measles and and all the other childhood diseases, and how coronavirus became this beyond belief exception. And I'm not discounting the fact that there have been anti-vax people, you know, forever on every disease, but they've never been organized. They've never been part of a political movement sanctioned by a major American political party. Okay. Remember the do-nothings, the 1860s, I think, 1850s.
The no-nothings.
Yeah. And now we're the don't get vaccinated nothing.
Well, I also love that these are the motherfuckers that are always preaching about socialism. They're essentially socializing bullshit protests. That's essentially what they're doing. They're using taxpayer money and money from businesses to incentivize these people and to give them free cash to try to, on a suicide pact, essentially. That's what this is.
Right. Well, remember 20 years ago or so on NBC every week on Friday, it was Tom Brokaw. Tonight, the voicing of America. The voicing of America. And they would do some story about how the taxpayers were getting ripped off. That should be job one right now. Get up there and let people know. Let it be said that your tax money and my tax money, theoretically, is ending up in the hands of unemployed people who are voluntarily unemployed because they refuse to get vaccinated and have quit their jobs. Because unemployment benefits aren't just all made up of money that you've contributed that's come out of your paycheck or your employer's. But it doesn't just come from there, right? I think it comes from the general fund at some level.
It does. So,
this is just outrageous.
And I know everyone is supposed to listen to every one of our podcasts, but in case you missed this from Monday's podcast, Florida, Iowa, Kansas, Tennessee, rewriting laws to expand benefits to unvaccinated people. That's Florida, Iowa, Kansas, and Tennessee specifically. I'm sure many others will follow.
They are calling special sessions to get this done. It's that important. Because right now, the most important thing is to block Joe Biden's attempt to get all of America vaccinated. And you can't play this game, although they do, where Republican politicians like DeSantis will say, yes, the vaccine works. Everyone should get vaccinated. And then at the same time, invite everyone in America who worked on a police force in a city that required vaccinations where you quit to come on down to Florida and work here because we don't believe in vaccine mandates. We believe in the vaccine. We believe you should get vaccinated, but we don't think we should tell you to get vaccinated. You know what? I believe in fair taxation. I do. I believe I should pay my fair share every year to support my country and my city and my state in the governmental endeavor. But I don't want to be made to pay my taxes. Stop it, right? Can we just get rid of the IRS now? Because that's really what the problem is, isn't it? That there is an IRS. It should not exist. It should be voluntary. Taxes should be 100% voluntary right now, right?
Right. We don't need the jackbooted thugs of government coming down in our throats trying to get us to pay taxes. We don't need that sort of thing.
Yep.
But we really don't know what's going on with Omicron. We don't have enough data to figure out exactly what's going on. We know it's a faster mutating version of the virus. We don't know if it necessarily spreads faster, makes people sicker faster, has a higher rate of death. We don't know any of those things right now. And I think that's what the Biden White House has tried to stress. Look, we should be concerned about this, and we are concerned. We're trying to stay on top of it as much as possible. But there's just too many variables that are out there, and the scientists have not had a chance to examine it. The data's not there.
Right, except at some level, depends on where you are in the country, what you do, and how you think. For some people, it's shoot first and ask questions later, okay? Mm-hmm. And for other folks, Well, they've checked out of this. The whole coronavirus thing, we're done with that. We're moving on. We're living our life as if nothing has changed. And there is a midpoint between those two extremes. And there's no money, there's no profit in taking the reasonable route, which is kind of what you said, which is we don't know everything about this yet. So therefore, don't panic. Don't sell the Chevy, Grandma. It's not over yet. And yes, the scientific smoke signals that are coming up are distressing, the early ones, but they are not fully determinative yet, and we don't know. So until we know, let's everybody just cool their jets. But you can already tell, but events are starting to get canceled. People are starting to get their meetings back on Zoom. Zoom down $5 today. $10, sorry.
I love it. Like, I'm always trying to get, like, stock market stuff from you. You always demur every single time. But this one, you know, oh, yeah, it's down five. It's down five bucks.
Thought it would be up today. Why is it down?
And, you know, the stock market being, of course, a leading indicator. So people are kind of freaking out because there's a lot of uncertainty. There's uncertainty out there.
It's a leading panic indicator, too. And as you know, panic is not a strategy unless it makes sense. And I don't think this is the ultimate panic moment yet. We're not there yet. But right. It does feel like, though, there are just, you know, arrows coming at you from all different directions in so many different areas right now. But, you know, the answer is to just not lose your shit over this, because it's easy. It's easy to lose your shit over this. And I don't know. What else you got besides this stupid virus shit?
The Guardian is focusing on this particular report, saying that hours before the siege happened, the insurrection happened at the Capitol, the president called in some of his big guns, Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Steve Bannon and others. They huddled and they were like, well, you know, Pence isn't on board. We got to try to figure out a way to steal this election that we claim has been stolen from us. And that's some new information that may not be necessarily surprising, but that was something that happened on January the 6th. It would be very interesting to be able to get your hands on the minutes or a recording of this call. China, if you're out there, WikiLeaks, if you're out there, you know, that would be an interesting thing to get your hands on, because I'm sure these dopes like drunk ass Rudolf Giuliani, they didn't have their phone shut off and are probably broadcasting this thing and live streaming it to half of the world.
Right. Don't you? Maybe I'm missing something here. Is there anything surprising about this quote unquote new aspect of the story, that Trump wasn't orchestrating this at some level? I guess the only thing that is surprising is that he didn't use his 100% practice, tried and true mafia boss technique of never saying anything about anything, but just saying to people, yeah, get it done. You know, things like that, where you grew. So it's obvious that he had reached the point where he really was talking in plain language about what he wanted to have done. So I guess you put the two stories together that we've been talking about here, and I'm sure Mark Meadows will be asked directly, well, what happened? And if he claims that there's some kind of executive privilege between him and Trump over that, he's going to end up in jail in about 3 seconds, because you can't invoke executive privilege, the right for conversations between a president and his advisors or a president and his lawyers. There is no cover of executive privilege when that discussion is about overthrowing the United States government, committing a crime, an illegal act. It doesn't exist. And I know that the answer to that is it doesn't matter. They're just trying to delay. They just want to move the ball past November of 2022, to where suddenly all of the investigating committees will have disappeared. Here's the problem, though, for guys like Meadows. Even if he could move the ball down the floor enough to get to later in the year without anything happening. Once the Justice Department has control of a case, when it's been passed on to them by the Congress, it does not matter whether Kevin McCarthy is the Speaker of the House and whether Mitch McConnell runs the Senate again. Once the Justice Department has it again, thank God, or I assume this is so, that there will not be a Republican Attorney General elected in 2022. I don't think that office is open for election that year, is it, Britt? I have to check.
I don't think so. Maybe.
Right, right. So the Attorney General will remain Merrick Garland at the time. So that's why if you're sitting here right now, you've been a suck up for Trump for 5 years, and you're getting hammered by these congressional committees, you really do have to think twice before you take one last fall for the orange menace. You gave it all. You did everything you could. It didn't work. But in your heart, you knew you were wrong, and you knew he was wrong. And maybe the prospect of spending some serious time in Camp Cupcake or wherever they send these guys.
Camp Cupcake!
Yeah, wherever they send these guys. They don't send them to Leavenworth or to that prison out in Colorado. What's the one that's out there?
Supermax, I believe, is what you're referring to. Supermax, yeah. Right?
By the way, Supermax Kinkle, 10 to 2 on CKLW. Fucking great jock. Also worked at WCBS FM later in his career.
Well, I was gonna get some copier paper over at Supermax. What's their stock doing today? Is it down 2%, 3%? I don't know. How are those guys hanging in there?
Office Max, Office Max.
These are the headlines. I find this to be interesting because if you remember where we were a year ago, we were hearing some rumblings. Maybe there'll be some sort of vaccine. It's kind of coming in the ether. We don't know when we're going to get it. Things were happening. Things weren't. These were the headlines from a year ago. First of all, U.S. coronavirus surge accelerates over Thanksgiving holiday weekend. That was one of the headlines from November the 30th of 2020, Brad. Does that sound familiar to you?
Is there some shock to that? Remember, it was right after the election, November 10th, when it was truly announced that the vaccine would start to get distributed. So, of course, that was too late to affect that headline a few weeks later because, the ingredients were already in the soup. So, yeah. But you know who will never get any credit for being totally right in his characterization of what was going to happen? It's a guy named Don McNeil, and Don McNeil was the writer and reporter for the New York Times for about 30 years, and he covered health and epidemics and the international view of how things should be done. And he spoke a year and a half ago over and over again. Every time you'd hear him or read him, he would say, it's going to be like this. We're going to dance in. We're going to dance out. There's going to be restrictions. They're going to pull them back. The virus will come back, and then there'll be more restrictions, and then the virus will recede. And he was so right. He was just so right. And we're right in the middle of one of these dances right now. But because we're a year later past what you just said, we do have a lot more treatments afterwards. We have the monoclonal antibodies, which are a good thing. But the X factor here is, if none of these things work quite as well against the kind of sickness that might be triggered by the new version of the virus, then, yeah, we may be taking a couple steps backwards here. And I don't know what that's going to mean. But one thing I do know is we're not going to shut down the economy this time. The NBA is not going to stop playing. We're not going to have to do that anymore, and no politician is going to do it. And of course, that extends then out to the unfortunate flip side of that, which is if everybody was vaccinated, we probably wouldn't even have to have the discussion. And then it flips back to what Kramer said, which is, God damn it, just tell everybody to get fucking vaccinated, which, you know, I knew Dwight Eisenhower. He was a friend of mine. And Joe Biden is not in a position to be Dwight Eisenhower because, well, Dwight Eisenhower didn't have to put up with all the resistance that exists in the country now for Joe Biden.
In 2021, Dwight Eisenhower wouldn't be Dwight Eisenhower. I think that's fairly obvious. Another headline from
November. Dwight Yoakam. That's who
would be fine. I like Dwight Yoakam. November 30th, 2020, Supreme Court ruling puts religious freedom over COVID-19 public health measures, Brad. The Supreme Court sided with New York religious groups who were challenging coronavirus restrictions on gatherings. In her dissent, Justice Sotomayor wrote, "The justices of this court play a deadly game in second-guessing the expert judgment of health officials about the environments in which a contagious virus, now infecting a million Americans each week, spreads most easily." Did Justice Sotomayor get it right or not, Brad?
Of course. Good God. Thank you for the underhand pitch going 2 miles an hour.
It's just very interesting to see where we were a year ago and where we, and I think one of the great advantages we do now, if there is this wave, as I've said, Europe is bad, Omicron, we're much better off because we don't have Dickface the Magnificent as president of the United States. We have a realistic guy that's not going to tell you to put bleach in your fucking veins to treat a virus. So, I mean, we've got that going for us.
Right. And that may be true, but that's not enough.
It's
not enough anymore to just say the absence of Trump gives us hope, because in terms of the coordination of a message, go back to Kramer here. I think he's right. You would have thought, I would have thought, I think we all thought that when Biden became the president, that there would be a better coordination of messages about the virus, about vaccinations, and about things of that sort. But I think we were wrong to believe that because of federalism, because of states' rights, and because of governors in particular who long to be the president of the United States and have identified a large swath of their political party, the Republicans, who hang on every word and slobber over every shred of resistance that they mount to legitimate attempts to get the country vaccinated, to get people healthy, to keep them healthy, and to allow the country to move forward. I mean, I just can't get away from the fact that we have such a low vaccination rate overall compared to other countries. Remember, we had the vaccine first. Mm-hmm. Our country, we were first. I think Britain had it like 2 days ahead of us. Remember that?
Right.
The first one was developed over there, so they had 2 days ahead of us, something like that. But we had it essentially first. So how did we blow it? We blew it because of misinformation and disinformation. And I think we've learned from social media that lying and being negative and hurling shit is a profitable way to go. And countering it with just so-called facts often doesn't get it done. And I don't know how we get out of this. I wish I knew. Wish I had an answer. I would have said it at the top of the podcast instead of waiting till the end here if I had the answer. So I didn't waste that beginning. Remember, we started with the famous 5'7" fact check on Fauci, Mussolini,
and Mengele. They were all 5'7". The stuff that I read said that Fauci, despite his 5'7" height, was still an excellent basketball player, very scrappy guy. I don't know how Mengele was.